Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
I'm just going to open fast in prayer. Thank you, Father, Dad, just for, this is an awesome time we could spend together just worshiping you, watching awesome videos, just, illustrating this beautiful day. And thank you that we can be here together as just as friends and family, coming to celebrate the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ. And thank you, Dad, that it's not just a day that we celebrate once a year, but this is a day that changes our lives forever. Every day of our lives, we can celebrate this beautiful day and the gospel of peace. Thank you, Jesus, that it's all because of you that we can be here together, knowing that you love us. You are pleased with us, and thank you that as we just dig into your word and just read about this life-changing event, Father, we're just going to be blessed and we're going to be encouraged. And thank you, Father, that we can just grow in our relationships with you as we dig into your word and discover the truth about this beautiful day, Christmas celebration. In Jesus' name. Awesome. Amen. Did you guys enjoy the worship, the videos, and the dance? I enjoyed it a lot. It's an awesome time to be here together. Thank you for, like I said earlier on, if you weren't here with the welcoming, thank you for joining us this morning. It's really a special day for us to come and celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. And what an awesome opportunity to be together as believers, to come and just dig into the Word and read about this special event. Now, as Scripture also says, is a merry heart does good like medicine. I want to tell you a quick joke or two. So firstly, the first joke is about little Johnny. So little Johnny went to his mother demanding a new bicycle. His mother decided that he should take a look at himself and the way he acts. She said, "Well, Johnny, it isn't Christmas and we don't have money to just go around buying new bicycles. So why don't you just write a letter to Jesus and pray for one instead?" After his temper tantrum, his mother sent him to his room. He finally sat down and started writing to Jesus. "Dear Jesus, I've been a good boy this year and would appreciate a new bicycle. Your friend, little Johnny." Now, little Johnny knew that that Jesus really knew what kind of boy he was, the kind of brat boy. So he ripped up the letter and decided to give it another try. "Dear Jesus, I've been an okay boy this year and I want a new bicycle. Yours truly, little Johnny." Well, little Johnny knew that this wasn't totally honest either, so he tore it up again and tried. "Dear Jesus, I've thought about being a good boy this year. And can I have a new bicycle?" Signed, little Johnny. While little Johnny looked deep down in his heart, which his mom actually wanted him to do from the beginning, he crumpled up the letter and threw it in the trash can, went running outside. He aimlessly wandered about, depressed because of the way he treated his parents, and really considering his actions, he finally found himself in front of a Catholic church. Little Johnny went outside and knelt down, looking around, not knowing what he really should be doing. Little Johnny finally got up, began to walk out the door, and was looking at all of the statues. All of a sudden, he grabbed a small one and ran out of the door. He went home, hid it under his bed, and wrote this letter. "Jesus, I've broken most of the Ten Commandments, shot Spud Watts in school, tore up my sister's Barbie doll, and lots more. I'm desperate. I've got your mama. If you ever want to see her again, give me a bike. Signed, you know who." And this, so that's the first joke. Then just the second one is for all of the ladies. You'll enjoy this one. It's titled The Three Wise Women. And it says, "Do you know what would have happened if there would have been three wise women instead of three wise men? They would have asked for directions, arrived on time, helped to deliver the baby, cleaned the stable, made a casserole, and brought disposable diapers as gifts." Women are awesome, and they know most of the time what are the practical things of gifting and all of that. But on that note, Christmas is really supposed to be a time of harmony, a time of joy, a time of happiness, and all of that. And depending on your focus in this time of Christmas celebration, depending on your focus, it's going to largely determine how you're enjoying this time. Is it a time of sorrow, dread, frustration, or is it really a time of joy and harmony? For example, if you're going to be focusing on Christmas as the world does, all about consumerism, all about getting gifts, cooking for hours, going to the mall. I don't know if you've been to the mall the last 2 days. It's pretty manic. You don't want to be there. You struggle to find parking. It takes you about 15 to 20 minutes just to find a decent parking spot. But all of those things can really just come and steal this joy from you. None of those things are necessarily wrong per se, but the focus behind why you're doing them can really come and steal that joy from you. And because of the world and consumerism, Christmas, as the way that we should celebrate it, has largely been forgotten and just really diluted. And that is why we're here this morning to just really come together and remind ourselves of this life-changing and beautiful message of Jesus' birth. And about 2016 years ago, a baby was born, a baby born to change the complete direction of the human race and all of our lives. And I'm going to read from Matthew's verse 1 to 18. It tells about the story to verse 23. I'm reading from the ERV version. King James will be up the screen. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah happened. His mother Mary was engaged to marry Joseph. But before they married, he learned that she was expecting a baby. She was pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit. Mary's husband Joseph was a good man. He did not want to cause a public disgrace, so he planned to divorce her secretly. But after Joseph thought about this, an angel from the Lord came to him in a dream. The angel said, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to accept Mary to be your wife. The baby inside of her is from the Holy Spirit. She'll give birth to a son. You'll name him Jesus. Give him that name because he will save his people from their sins." All this happened to make clear the full meaning of what the Lord said through the prophet. "The virgin will be pregnant and will give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel," meaning God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the Lord's angel told him to do. He married Mary. But Joseph did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and he named him Jesus. Mary and Joseph both were part of an awesome miracle on this day. And if you think about it, neither of them were really selfish in this account. They both had a say in what they're going to do with the word from God and from the angels. And neither of them protested, but they really just took God's word, received it, and stood on that. As you could see in the dream when the angel appeared to Joseph, he could have decided, am I going to believe this word? Am I going to receive it and marry Mary, or am I going to protest against this and come against that? So Joseph received the word of God. And likewise, Mary did the same. In Luke 1, verse 35 to 38, King James Version says, "And the angel answered and said unto her," talking to Mary, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is a 6 month with her. Was also called, or she was barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. So here we can see also, Mary received the word from God, planted into her heart, and she got a miracle, gave birth to a son by being a virgin. And that's why 1 John 14 says that, "And the word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us." The word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. God gave a word to Mary, and that word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. 1 Peter 1 verse 23, we also see that. It says that being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. God's word, when you're taking God's word and you plant it in your heart, that incorruptible seed, it is going to bear fruit. Like with Mary, this miracle was born. So if you want anything, if you want to receive a miracle from God, according to His promises and His word, you need to take God's word and plant it into your heart and make it yours. Stand on God's word. So as we saw in the scripture, it was saying, the Son is going to be called Jesus to save His people, Emmanuel, God with us. And 1 John verse 29, it says, John saw Jesus coming and he proclaimed, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." What a beautiful words. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It doesn't wipe the sin of the world under a rug for you to later trip on or be reminded of, but it takes away the sin of the world. In Colossians 2, verse 13 to 14, I'm going to read from the easy-to-read version. It says, "You were spiritually dead because of your sins, and because you were not free from the power of your sinful self, but God gave you a new life together with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. Because we broke God's laws, we owed a debt that listed all the rules we failed to follow, but God forgave us of that debt. He took it away and nailed it to the cross. I'm going to read it from the Message translation as well, and it says, when you were stuck in your old sin-dead life, you were incapable of responding to God. God brought you alive right along with Christ. Think of it, all sins forgiven, the slate wiped clean, that all arrest warrant against you cancelled and nailed to the cross. What a beautiful picture. You had an arrest warrant out for your arrest, and God took that and nailed it to the cross, to the body of Jesus Christ. All sin wiped away completely. That's a beautiful, and that in itself, we can sit here this whole morning and just think of that. Like all sin, every sinful thing, every sinful thought that you've thought about that you're still going to commit, Jesus has 2016 years ago wiped that completely away, took it upon his own body. In Luke 2 verse 12 to 14, it says, and this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Some translations here is talking about peace and goodwill among men, peace among men, but that is not really what the species is talking about. Yes, we can experience peace among men, we can turn the other cheek, we can love our enemies, but here the angels were specifically proclaiming peace and goodwill towards men from God. We're living in an age where we've two world wars have passed, so clearly there isn't peace among men. There's wars breaking out continually. So this is specifically talking about the peace and the goodwill from God towards men. And if you look at the word goodwill, it means satisfaction, delight, kindness, and good pleasure. That is the message that the angels came to proclaim with the birth of Jesus Christ. Goodwill. God is finding good pleasure. He delights in you, his children. And that's an awesome, awesome picture and an awesome message that we can hold on dearly. And it's not just on the 25th of December. This good pleasure and delight that God has towards you happened once, and it's been happening once for all time. In Hebrews 10, verse 10, it says that your sins have been given once and for all time. So this good pleasure and peace that God has towards you is for eternity. Romans 8 verse 32 to 34 says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things, not just some things, but give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies, not man, not performance, but it's God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. The highest judge of the universe, God the Father, chose to justify us through Jesus Christ, through his blood, through that sacrifice, you have been justified. So why, if God Almighty, the perfect judge, if he's judged you perfect and righteous because of your faith in Jesus, why are you letting any other person on the face of this earth, why are you allowing them to judge and condemn you for the mistakes with your shortcomings, when God has justified you perfect and holy? Why do you value the word of people higher than the word of God and his view of you? Romans 5 verse 1 to 2 says, we have been made right with God because of our faith. So we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Emmanuel, God with us. Because of Jesus, because of God with us, we have peace. Through our faith, Christ has brought us into that blessing of God's grace that we now enjoy. And we are very happy, not very sorrowful, not very depressed. We are very happy because of the hope we have of sharing in God's glory. Like I said, this is supposed to be a time of happiness, joy, and harmony, celebrating on this specific day what Jesus came to do for us. And we're going to look at some symbolism a little bit later to keep reminding us of this special day. And like I said, it's not just one day of the year that you're experiencing this or could be experiencing this, but every day of the rest of your life you can be experiencing this because God did it 2016 years ago and it's still standing. Jesus in Romans 4 verse 25, it says, Jesus was handed over to die for our sins, and he was raised from death to make us right with God. Our sins were imputed on Jesus. Like I said, that arrest warrant was nailed to the cross. Our sins were imputed to Jesus, and his righteousness were imputed to us through faith. That's an awesome trade. Trading in your old 1970 rusted VW Beetle for a new Mercedes AMG C63. I think that's a pretty good trade. And that just brings me to the conclusion, what I want to just bring out of the summary of the message of Christmas. Because of Jesus, we have the free gift of salvation. God paid the price. Like on Christmas, someone bought the gift, someone paid a price, and someone's on the receiving end as well. Just like that. God paid the price, and we're on the receiving end. We can receive that gift freely and just enjoy it. In Ephesians 2 verse 8 and 9 says that you have been saved by grace. Grace is the gift through faith. Your faith, putting your faith, a positive response to that gift. You need to reach out and take that gift. It says it's a gift from God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Just like with Christmas, when you receive a gift, hopefully it's wrapped. If it's not wrapped, then I'm sure the timing got mixed up a little bit and the planning wasn't great. But if your gift is wrapped, then it's an awesome, exciting thing to unwrap that gift. And just like that with the gift of Jesus, there's so much in this. And through unwrapping this gift, that is us enjoying fellowship with God, enjoying relationship with Him. And the gift doesn't just include eternal life, but that gift includes healing, deliverance, prosperity, and wholeness. That's an awesome gift. So you need to be aware of the benefits of this gift in order to enjoy all of it. If you don't know what all of the benefits are, then you're not going to be able to grab that gift and go and enjoy it. Then secondly, because of Jesus, all condemning evidence against you has been wiped away. These aren't my fancy words. This is the word of God that was written. Because of Jesus, all condemning evidence against us has been wiped away. I'm going to read from Romans 8 verse 1. It talks about this. It says, with the arrival of Jesus the Messiah, I'm reading from the Message translation, arrival of the Messiah, that fatal dilemma is resolved. Those who enter into Christ being here for us no longer have to live under continuous, low-lying black cloud. A new power is in operation. The Spirit of life in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a fated lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death. Another translation says that every bit of condemning evidence against you has been shredded. It's completely wiped away. That is good news. Then, because of Jesus, we can stand boldly before God and look into His fatherly eyes of love without any fear or shame. Romans 8 verse 15 to 17, also from Message translation, says, this resurrection life you received from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurous, expectant life, greeting God with a childlike, what's next, Papa? God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who He is, and we know who we are, Father and children. And we know we are going to get what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. The Greek word, or the Hebrew word Abba, is really talking about it's not just a dad or pa, it's really a daddy, papa. It's that personal intimacy. It's not just a shallow father-son or father-daughter relationship, but it's an intimate, loving relationship that the Scripture is talking about, that we can experience with God, our Abba Father. Because of Jesus, we have everything we need for life and for godliness. 2 Peter verse 1 and 3 says this, according as His divine power has given us all things, again, not just some things, not just a few things, but all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that called us unto glory and virtue. Now, like I said, I want to share some symbolism with you this morning. The awesome thing about symbolism, it's really powerful. And once you see what specific symbols and things represent, it really can minister to you and encourage you. And the first thing I want to share with you this morning is the with regards to the olive branches that you've received this morning. You might not know what the symbolism behind it is, and I'm going to just share a few pointers. There's a lot more, but I'm going to pull out the main things that I want to share with you with regards to the olive branch. First of all, God referred to His people as the green olive tree, His children. That is us, the green olive tree. So if you look at that olive branch in your hand, and you seeing yourself as this olive tree, you are full of branches. Like that tree is full of branches, and the branch represents peace and victory. You've got God's peace and His victory residing inside of your veins. You are full of His peace and His victory. Every weapon that is formed against us, it will not prosper because we are victorious in Christ. Greater is He that's living inside of us than He that's in this world. That branch is a picture of peace and victory. And as we looked at the angels declaring peace towards people from God, peace and goodwill. So remember that when you look at that olive branch. Then the other thing, olive oil. Olive oil is an awesome symbolism of joy and happiness. Obviously, coming from the olive fruit. Joy and happiness, that is something that God delights in you. He's joyful about you. He's happy towards you. And you can experience that joy, that peace, and that happiness because you are a green olive tree. And that is our inheritance. The olive tree is also a picture of wealth and prosperity. Wealth and prosperity is part of your inheritance as a son of God, as a daughter of God. And you can experience that by just communing with God, by spending time with Him, being rooted and grounded in His love and in His joy. So that's with regards to the olive branch. And now I'm going to share a few symbolisms with you with regards to Christmas decorations. I never actually knew a lot of these symbolism, and it's really, there are a lot of really solid biblical symbolism behind the Christmas decorations. And I'm going to share them with you because during this time of the year, you see this everywhere. You see Christmas tree galore, all of the malls, you see lights, you see everything. I'm sure you've got a Christmas tree at your home, and you might not know what the meaning of all of the decorations are. So I'm going to encourage you to be reminded of these things when you look at these decorations, because it's truly powerful and it really edifies and builds up to this message that I've shared this morning, the Christmas story. So first of all, it'll start with the Christmas tree. The Christmas tree is an evergreen tree. Evergreen trees, they stay green all year round. They never lose their leaves. They just stay green. Throughout winter, come high or low water, it's just stay green. And that is that's a picture of eternal life. Green, eternal life, our eternal life that we have in Christ. Not only that, Jesus said that I am the tree of life. So when you look at that Christmas tree, see that eternal life that you can now enjoy with Jesus. Then the lights are pretty straightforward, I guess. Jesus talking about His children being the light of this world, we being the light, shining your light with Jesus. And then the Christmas star is also very straightforward. The Christmas star was a symbol of Jesus' birth. It signified the birth of Jesus. So when you look at the star, remember that next time. Then candy canes. Candy canes are in the shape of a shepherd's staff. And a shepherd's staff, Jesus referred to Himself as the good shepherd. In John 10 verse 11, it says, I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives His life for His sheep. So next time when you see that candy cane in the shape of a shepherd's staff, know that Jesus gave His life for you because He loves you. Then the angels again, and the angels that we're seeing that decoration, it's very straightforward. The angels proclaiming the good message of peace towards men. And then the red, white, and green ornaments that you generally get, it's colors of Jesus' blood being shed for us on this on the day of the crucifixion. White being the color of purity. Again, that righteousness that He gave to us through faith. And then the green, again, a symbolism of that eternal life that we can enjoy. And then everyone's favorite, the gifts. The gifts under the Christmas tree. The gifts obviously being brought on Jesus' birth from the wise men. But then the greatest gift that has ever been given, Jesus Christ Himself. Remember when you open those gifts, when you see those gifts, that was Jesus that was given to you. As we all know, John 3 verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave that precious gift, His Son, so that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Then the last two, just the bells, the Christmas bells. It is an awesome symbolism of shepherds walking in the field. They normally had bells with them, and the sheep would follow the noise of the bells as the shepherds led them to different pastures. And that's also a picture of Jesus said that my sheep will know my voice. We can know the voice of Jesus, and he's leading us on greener pastures. So follow his voice. And then last but not least, the Christmas wreath. Pronunciation there. It symbolizes, if you don't know what the wreath is, it's a round greenish thing that is normally also decorated. You put it on your dorm normally or wherever you can find a place. But that just symbolizes there's no beginning, no end to God's love. So his love is eternal. His love doesn't stop and it doesn't end. And also with the life that we have in Christ, that eternal life that we have. So I want to encourage you with regards to the Christmas symbols that I've shared with you. Really, when you see those things, be blessed by it. Remember this story because it's a powerful story. The last scripture in closing, I'm going to read for you from Isaiah 54, verse 9 to 10. And yeah, the Holy Spirit was prophesying through the prophet Isaiah. And he compared the new covenant that we're living under now to the old covenant that of Noah. And verse 9 says, "For this is the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be at wrath with thee, nor rebuke thee." Okay, this was an unconditional promise. After that flood of Noah, God made this unconditional promise. It wasn't dependent on the inhabitants of the world, because all of us know, if you've read your Bible and you've seen even the world as we know it, there are some pretty people, and there are some evil things that are done. So God's promise wasn't dependent on performance by the people. It was a promise that he made, and that promise stood. And just like that, God continues and he says in verse 10, that the mountains and hills will someday be removed, but he will never remove his covenant of peace from us. So God is at peace with us again. When the angels proclaimed peace and goodwill towards men, that wasn't a one-day event. It was a one-day for the rest of this world's existence event. Peace from God towards men. And that is the message of the cross. That is the message of the birth of Jesus that we're celebrating today, that God is at peace with us. God has got good pleasure to us. He's got a delight in his children. And he wants us to know that, enjoy that, and from that place, just enjoy this abundant life that he came to bring. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, Dad, just for this message of your cross. And thank you, Dad, that we can just celebrate the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ, today. Thank you, Father, that we can even celebrate that tomorrow, the day after, and the rest of our lives, and just be reminded of this message, of the gospel, the nearly too good to be true news. But thank God that this message is true. And as we just receive your word, Father, we can just be transformed by this message that is so good. We can be built up. We can be joyful. We can be in harmony. We can share this peace with other people, Father. We can share this happiness and this joy with other people because you are living inside of us. God Emmanuel, God with us.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168 or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.